What a podcast.
If you're looking for pizza now, they're ready when you are. Got a dirty car? Clean it up at the Brownsville Car Wash. Just 5 miles off of I-5.
Exit 216.
If you're looking for pizza now, they're ready when you are.
The studio's on fire.
Hey, give me that fire extinguisher.
Yeah.
Hey, today we talk about Revolution, the show.
Rider.
Oh, Easy Rider. What a great movie. Gatch tells you how to skin a squirrel.
Mm-hmm. Two fingers.
And what absentia is. I forgot, though.
Yeah, it's all about tattoos.
You'll want to forget about the penis museum, too. Thanks for listening. Get it on.
The Terry and Gatch Comedy Show, number 618.
Welcome to Friday.
You don't even have to be Asian to do math that simple.
Fuck no.
That's a quote from Councilman Jam from Parks and Rec.
Yeah, yeah. You just got jammed. Welcome to Friday. We're freaking out with some Red Fang from the new album just came out a week or two ago. It's called Whales and Leeches. I like Red Fang. Portland band. Good stuff. Seen him with Mastodon. Seen him with, who did I see him with? Yob? I don't know. Yeah. Good band, though. Check them out. Red Fang from Portland, Oregon on Relapse Records. Whales and Leeches. And it is Friday. Welcome to it. Thanks for being here, all of y'all.
Yes, thank you. It's a beautiful Friday.
Sun's still shining.
Yes, it is.
It's going to go away soon. You better get out there and enjoy it.
Yeah, probably by 5:30 tonight.
That's about time it's getting dark. Boy, Halloween rolls around. It's dark at 4:30.
I know.
That's weird shit.
Isn't it about time for daylight savings? When does that happen?
It used to happen before Halloween, but now they bumped it ahead a couple years ago. So now it happens after Halloween. So I think it's going to be like the first weekend in November.
You doing a Halloween show this year?
No, the Halloween happened the Saturday before Halloween is on the 26th.
Mm-hmm.
And Halloween's like on a Wednesday or Thursday, so can't really do a Halloween party after.
No.
But they did at Bleepin' Funny tomorrow night. They did say that comics are encouraged to wear a costume if they would like. Not required, though.
Hmm.
I'm thinking about being a fat guy.
Yeah?
No offense to fat people, but...
Hmm.
I was just going to do the Bam Margera and, like, get a bunch of bubble wrap and some really big clothes.
Yeah.
Just be a fat guy.
I would be getting really sweaty, though, I bet.
Yeah, probably. But no one would know who I was if I had, like, sunglasses and a cowboy hat.
Mm-hmm.
Fat cowboy.
Yeah.
I think I might be a fat cowboy.
Fat cowboy. Hmm.
But I doubt if I'll dress up for the show.
Yeah. Huh.
So, yeah, it sucks when Halloween falls on a Wednesday or a Thursday.
It does. Are you guys taking Jaden out?
Yeah, we got him a costume. Well, he's had the costume. He's going to be a Tyrannosaurus Rex.
Nice.
Yeah. And then we were looking. He wanted to be Mario because he's really into Mario Brothers right now. That's like $28 for a Mario costume at Walmart, but I don't think he wants to spring for all that. And we've already got him a T-Rex costume that his mom picked up somewhere. It's like a cloth that he wears, and it's got a little... dinosaur head hat that he wears. Pretty cool.
Head on.
He loves dinosaurs, that's for sure.
Rawr!
Yeah. He hasn't got to watch Godzilla for a long time because we haven't had the internet at our house, but we go down to my parents' house and bring my Kindle, and he can watch Netflix for Kids on my Kindle, which is
nice.
Cool for him. He loves the Netflix for Kids.
Me too. I've been watching Revolution on there. I don't think that's a kids show, though.
Revolution?
Yeah. It's a show that started last season.
It's a series?
Yeah. It's NBC, I think.
Three series.
And it is... the premise is 15 years ago, the power went out everywhere. Everything.
Never came back on?
Never came back on.
Well, that could happen.
Yeah.
No internet then.
And here's the thing, too. Now you got like a war breaking out, right?
Yep.
But you can't make bullets.
You can't make bullets without electricity?
Guess not. And so
you could repack show.
After, you know, 5 years of war and all that kind of stuff and you're scrounging for bullets, what do? Oh, you're back to sword fighting.
Ah, that's kind of gay.
Yeah, but it's kind of cool to see a show these days that is, you know, to see a battle of swords that was actually realistic because they don't have bullets.
Right.
Which is kind of weird, too, because sometimes somebody will bring in a gun and just, like, plaster everybody.
That's not fair. Really.
I saw Key and Peele, we were talking about that the other day. I saw one, and it was a little bit political. They were signing the Constitution and the Second Amendment. And this one guy goes, yeah, but maybe we should put something in there in case somebody can someday makes a gun that can shoot, like, 50 bullets before you could even touch the guy. And they all laughed at him. Just, where are you from? And he's like, I'm from the future. And then he pulls out these, like, Uzis, and he shoots them all dead, and then the Uzis disappear, right? As, you know, like time traveling does. If you erase something, it no longer exists for you. And he's all, oh, thank God. And then one of the guy goes, what was that? I better draw a picture of it quick. And then all of a sudden, his guns were replaced by these even more badass guns. And he's like, damn it.
I'm going to... Excuse me, pizza now. I'm going to have to start watching more of Key and Peele.
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, I mean, I don't know. I usually watch it if it's on after, I think it's on after South Park.
Yeah, I think that's where I've been seeing the little first couple minutes of it
because
my DVR doesn't want to miss anything, so it records a minute early and a couple minutes late.
Yeah, they did a little skit I liked the other day that was just the two of them on stage, and they were talking about movie spoilers.
Uh-huh.
Like how... You know, you can't say anything without spoiling a movie. Even if you said, hey, have you seen that movie? You already know something special is going to happen in that movie. It's already spoiled, right? And so you're going to, don't tell me anything about it. And then he's like, come on, just tell me one thing. He's like, all right, you tell me one thing if it has absolutely nothing to do. And he's like, it has nothing to do with the plot. I won't ruin it at all. And he's like, all right. And he's like, Bruce Willis is a ghost.
I think I might have caught part of that.
Yeah.
It sounds a little bit familiar.
That was
the opening sketch?
It was the opening sketch of the last one I saw. Yeah. So if you watched the South Park and you saw that.
Yeah.
They got a good chemistry. I don't know if they'd be funny on their own.
Yeah, I wonder. That makes me wonder, like, before they had their show, what their act was.
I don't know.
Were just like a double, a two-man stand-up act that you don't see a lot of those these days.
Yeah, you don't.
We were talking about that before we got on the air here, if we were on air. And, yeah, you don't see, like, the Martin and Lewis and...
Smothers Brothers, even. Cheech and Chong on stage.
Yeah, which, you know, when I first heard their albums, I'd never seen them or knew that they even did live stuff. It's like, I don't know, when you're a kid, you don't really, I don't know, you don't think about stuff.
Yeah. You know, Cheech, he used to work with Monkees. In his earlier act, it was Cheech and Kong.
Aha. Cheech and King didn't sound right, so they went Cheech and Kong.
Yeah, and then one night, Chong got so wasted that Cheech just took his bong out there, and it was Cheech and Bong.
Cheech and Bong, all right. And then one time before he got divorced the first time, Chong, he cheated on his wife, and he called him Cheech and Chong. That was reaching. Reaching Chong.
Then you got Radon Chong.
Yeah, I saw her naked.
Really? What movie was that?
Quest for Fire.
Huh.
From the 80s caveman movie.
Mm-hmm.
She was down by the river washing something out. And she
washing her van?
She was washing her vagina out. Naked vagina.
She was in that movie Far Out, man.
Yeah.
With her dad.
It was Radon.
With Martin Mull in there, he played Dr. Lytle Dick or something. Yep. They kept calling him Little Dick.
Lytle Dick.
It's Lytle Dick. I don't know why I remember that, because I don't remember anything about that movie.
Well, there's something at least that you remember. Spoiler right
but
there.
But it was, I remember that being particularly funny.
I bet she was pissed because not only did she have like a weird Chinese last name, but she's a girl and she had two man first names.
Yeah.
Ray Dawn.
Mm-hmm.
Which, you know, they could be boys or girls, but.
Yeah.
Hey, Ray. Hey, Don, what's up?
Ray Don. I bet your favorite movie is Red Dawn.
Red Dawn Chong. That's what it means. So we're talking about guns. You're talking about not being able to make bullets, and
yeah,
you used to. You used to. Did we talk about this? You used to go hunting sometimes.
Oh yeah, I used to reload shotgun shells.
Yeah, that's what I was kind of getting at when you said you can't make bullets without electricity. Well, you could reload. You could repack your.
Yeah,
shotgun
I don't think
shell.
There was ever. Maybe they didn't have electricity to make gunpowder or the actual. Shaping the bullets or something, but it seems like you could make a charged shell of some sort.
Something.
You know, if you had a reloading machine, because, yeah, you don't plug that in. You no. just pat, it just has that thing that you pull the handle and it packs the powder and then the little,
Because how could they make bullets back in
spacer?
The olden days? They didn't have electricity back then.
No, they didn't. There's a lot of muskets in this show. They fire a lot of muskets.
Ah.
And so, yeah. That's another thing. And I do kind of agree with that comedy sketch, too. Like, I mean, they didn't envision somebody could probably pull off 50 rounds with a little personal gun, you know?
Must get more guns.
Yeah. Yep.
Well, speaking of hunting, I got a couple of crazy Swede stories here.
All right.
And one is about a
what
Swedish.
What do they hunt up there?
I don't know. They hunt elks.
All right.
And the Swedish pastor here at this church, he's a first-time licensed hunter. He delivered, oh, wait, it's a woman. She delivered her town's annual elk hunt sermon, donning fake antlers, just for fun.
Wow, and she got shot?
No, that would be weird if she got shot in her church. Pastor Maria Carlson of the church in Värmland County said she decided to don the headgear while delivering the traditional elk hunt sermon.
Mm-hmm.
What's a traditional elk hunt sermon? That's fucking crazy. To the 30 or 40 hunters and family members gathered to mark the beginning of the hunting season last Monday. I've been thinking about it all autumn. I wanted to do something fun and a little bit different. She said, I really wanted it, and I'm the only active pastor in the area who's a licensed hunter, so it seemed very fitting.
Mm-hmm.
I had prayed that I'd be able to shoot an elk on my first hunt, so in a way, my prayers were answered. She did manage to bag an elk on Thursday.
I don't.
So I guess wearing horns to church will help you get a deer or an elk. I don't know. That story wasn't that crazy, but I thought this was funny because we saw, well, every once in a while, in the summertime, we see the ice cream truck come by, and it doesn't really have a very loud speaker on it.
No.
Could you imagine being so annoyed by an ice cream truck that you actually took action against said ice cream truck?
I used to be scared of ice cream trucks because I swear that one time I heard one, and I went to go and catch up to it, and I saw it down the street, and it popped up a wheelie and turned around and started chasing me.
Whoa.
It must have been a dream, right?
That's when you realized you were dreaming.
Yeah, and then it was, I don't know, there's a clown involved or something. I don't know.
You got a little clown head maybe on the top of the ice cream truck, kind of like in the Cheech and Chong movie.
Yeah.
Nice dreams. But a Swedish millionaire has admitted to popping the tires of an ice cream truck because he was so upset about the noise near his house. He's a owner of the Mamo Redhawks hockey team from Vellinge, Sweden.
Mm-hmm.
He initially denied being behind the tire damage during the summer, but he said he has now admitted to the police that he used a drill to poke holes in the ice cream truck's tires. I've been to police and confessed. Now I want to start debate about ice cream truck noise.
Hmm.
At 75 meters, she has time to honk 10 times. In the middle of the summer in a quiet neighborhood, this is just awful. The ice cream truck drivers remarked a few times earlier that I told them not to honk on my street. I warned them I would act if they did not stop.
And he did.
This summer I did. Drilled their tires. So apparently he's not even getting charged with anything.
So they honked their horn rather than the music?
I guess. He said...
So what if somebody's just honking their horn out there and kids run out? Oh, it's just somebody in a traffic accident.
Yeah. There's kids running in the street trying to get ice cream, and all the cars are honking at them because they're running through the street. More kids come out thinking that the ice cream truck is in, and then there's a fucking massacre in the middle of the street. That's what happens in Sweden when you try to get some ice cream. It's bullshit.
Yeah. Hey, did you know in Sweden it has the world's highest density of elk? Population of 250,000.
Well, maybe that's why they're so into elk hunting over there.
They are. They are into ducks. You can also hunt roebuck over
ducks?
There.
Ducks? Roebuck? What about Sears?
Nope, you can't hunt Sears.
Sears and roebuck.
It says elk, and then in parentheses it says moose. I don't know if...
In Sweden, elks are moose.
It makes sense, kind of. I think there'd be more moose in Sweden than elk.
You call them mice or Mooses?
Moosen.
Or...
I think it's just moose.
Moose eye?
Yeah. I always wanted to go hunting on one of those African safaris.
That'd be pretty intense.
Oh, where you go and shoot a wildebeest, one of those ugly fucking looking animals?
Gee, those things are ugly.
They are, but wouldn't that be cool looking, hanging on your wall?
I guess. They're trying to figure out what new animal to put on the wall at the Bang Bang Comedy Bang Bang. Because, you know, they've got like Mr. Goat and little squirrel.
Do they have a jackalope already?
No.
What about a horse's ass? Just a horse with the legs hanging down?
They gave us like a rabbit and the three things to choose from. And then apparently nobody wanted any of them because they didn't want them to have to kill the animal. And then when they got done with the contest, they said, well, since nobody voted for any of them, we're killing them all three. And they killed all of them.
Nice.
PETA's probably pissed.
Yeah.
I would imagine.
You know, it's easy to skin a squirrel. You just slice it around right at the center, and then you just tuck your fingers in and pull.
How do you know that?
I looked it up online. The other day, I...
In the anarchist squirrel cookbook?
Nope, this was in the Army Ranger's handbook I flipped through the other day. It's like 300 pages or something like that, but it had knots. I just wanted to see what kind of stuff that, you know, techno jargon stuff was in there. And yeah. Kind of weird.
See how to survive if you're in the wilderness and need to eat a squirrel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it had a diagram of the squirrel. There's a lot of diagrams, and some didn't have really good instructions on their little knot ties.
The knot ties?
I was like, eh, I'm not a ranger.
I used to be a Royal Ranger.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that was kind of like Boy Scouts.
Mm-hmm.
Was at the church, though.
Mm-hmm.
More. I wasn't very long, though.
I was in one of those church clubs for kids.
What was it?
Awanas.
Oh, yeah. Danny used to do that.
And then, but when it came down to, like, one of the first or second meetings, you had to, like, memorize some gospel thing and recite it.
That's when I dropped out,
and then I was like, hey, you know, I was there. My buddy brought me in. I was like, hey, that's kind of cool, but...
Hanging out with a bunch of other kids. You can hang out.
Yeah, but I don't want to...
Jesus, this is stupid.
Yeah, sit and listen to them tell me what Bible verse I need to memorize.
John 3:16.
No, I didn't. Begotten Son.
Yeah.
What
was his name? Oh, yeah, Steve Austin. He's stone cold. He's stone cold.
Like a beer.
I've got a stone cold. I get stoned when I have a cold.
No. You know, if you got a stone cold, you know you want to get a stone free. That's what I mean.
Stone free?
Stone free.
Yeah, but you didn't say it.
Stone free. It's there. It's just a...
Stone free.
Stone free.
Do what I please. Stone free.
Do you have a favorite Hendrix song?
God, there's so many. I really like If Six Was Nine.
I don't know if I know that one.
Do-do-do-do. You know it because we played it one time when Jerry Murphy was on the podcast. We played it because I think it was episode 6 or 9.
Yeah, I'm sure. Says that is the first line, right?
What if all the hippies cut off all their hair? Well, oh,
okay, yeah.
And what if something did this? And I got my whole world to live in, something, blah, blah, blah. It was from the movie soundtrack of Easy Rider, which I saw as a small child with my parents at the drive-in, which was an awesome movie with one of my favorite actors, Dennis Hopper, and Peter Fonda. But yeah, If Six Was Nine, pretty good. Crosstown Traffic, I'm a little partial to that one. I don't know why. It's a short little
fun one.
It's cool. See the tire tracks all over your back. I can see you had your fun. He's calling his girlfriend a whore, but he's talking about cars and shit.
Mm-hmm.
You're just like Crosstown Traffic. Yeah, old Hendrix. Crazy things happen in Las Vegas. We don't talk about that too often. Usually what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas, but this is tied in with crazy Oregonian stories. Happened in Las Vegas, but these people are from Oregon. A man and a woman accused of engaging in oral sex in front of other passengers on a commercial flight pleaded guilty to disorderly conduct in Las Vegas. Chris Martin from Applegate Valley, Oregon, and Jessica Strobel from Medford, they pleaded guilty in absentia. What the fuck's that mean?
That means you're claiming that you did it while you were, you don't remember what happened.
Oh, absent.
This reminds me. Okay, go ahead. Okay. I'll bring it in.
Think of the absentia. Write it down. They marked it down to a misdemeanor charge of disorderly conduct. The Medford Mail Tribune reported on Friday that Martin and Strobel were each sentenced to pay a $250 fine. The plea deal resulted in the dropping of more serious charges, which could have resulted in a 90-day jail sentence for the defendants. Old Martin, he said, I've made many mistakes in my life, but none greater than this one.
Hmm.
I have lost my job, my reputation, and damaged the legacy I had worked for 10 years to nurture and grow. I will learn from this and move on to the next chapter in my life. The two were accused of engaging in oral sex acts in view of other passengers during an Allegiant Air flight. Prosecutors said they had been repeatedly warned by flight attendants to stop. Just kept on sucking crotch. So, kids, if you're going to get on a flight, you're going to have to wait till you get to the hotel for the blowjob. And I don't know if it was like a 69 thing. They were engaging in oral sex, so who knows?
And if you commit a serious crime, claim absentia.
That's right. And what is absentia? You're absent-minded?
It's that you don't know what you did. You were unknowing, like you blacked out, basically.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Like you're absent in your memory.
Like dementia, but absentia.
Like Matthew Broderick once in 87, I think this was, which was right around the time of Ferris Bueller, right, I would imagine.
Yeah.
He was on holiday with his then wife or girlfriend at the time, and he was driving and hit another car head on.
Ooh.
Some say that he might have been driving on the right side like we do in the States, but that's not right over there. And the mother and daughter in the other car were killed. And he got off with like a $100 fine because he claimed absentia, that he didn't know what happened or how it happened or where he was. I don't know. I imagine it, you know, you could make that work. Maybe it was true or not, or, you know, but I mean, I'm sure he still lives with it. I mean, that'd be...
Yeah, he killed somebody. I mean, yeah. It's crazy. I have a couple friends who've been in accidents, which were either maybe not their fault, but either way, the other person in the accident was killed, and that's something that you're going to have to live with for the rest of your life. I couldn't imagine.
I know.
Even being in a wreck with someone that dies and it's not your fault would be traumatizing enough.
Yeah.
Let alone the fact if it was your fault.
I almost ran over a group of kids one time. Not really, but I was...
For pretense?
Yeah. I was there at that Main Street light in Lebanon, you know, by the school and the Dairy Queen and stuff.
Uh-huh.
And we were headed in Pat's 4Runner.
Ooh, the white one?
Yeah, the white one, to go see Tom Petty. And I had four or five friends who were listening to loud music.
I went to that show, too.
And I went to turn... to head out of town, and I didn't realize that some kids were running across the street. But
ooh.
I didn't really turn or anything.
Right.
You know, I just started to turn, and then I stopped.
Well, good. You didn't hit him like I did that 72-year-old guy.
Ah!
Broke his glasses, cut his face. That's what you get.
You know who Rip Torn is?
Yeah.
You know, he was almost cast as George Hansen. An Easy Rider?
That's Jack Nicholson's role.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, I did not know that. I'm glad that he didn't, because that was an awesome role for Jack.
According to Torn, Dennis Hopper pulled a knife on him during the pre-production meeting.
Well, Dennis is a little crazy.
But on The Tonight Show with Jay Leno, Hopper claimed it was Torn who pulled the knife, and then Torn sued Hopper for defamation and won.
Ooh, so Hopper was lying, probably.
Yep.
Maybe he claimed absentia. Like, I pulled a knife on that fucker because them satellites was watching me. They got satellites up there. They're watching you, man.
The Captain America jacket?
Yeah.
It was designed by Peter Fonda and made by two little old ladies in Los Angeles.
Nice.
Also, according to him, their four police bikes were customized for the film. Three were stolen before the end of production and one burned.
Wow. Police bikes. Now, I'm wondering what scene that's from. I don't recall the police bikes.
I don't know.
Maybe when the cops are, before they kill Jack Nicholson.
Hmm.
They kill him.
Yeah, the final campfire scene was left out of the original shooting schedule and was shot after both motorcycles had been stolen.
Huh.
And you'll be happy to know that although LSD was not actually used on the set...
Real marijuana.
Real marijuana was smoked on camera.
Yeah. They were smoking doobies.
Mm-hmm.
Then they asked if Cheech and Chong smoked some real weed, and they kind of said no with a tongue in their cheek. But I think that they were probably smoking some real weed, too.
Some of the weird lighting effects in the LSD scene came because a can of film was accidentally exposed when it was opened before being developed.
Huh. That's convenient, because that was a weird, trippy scene when they're in the graveyard down there in by Louisiana. Trippy.
And Dennis Hopper, at his request, Stephen Stills wrote the song Find the Cost of Freedom, but it was never ended up using.
Yeah,
it was supposed to be
why.
At the end of it when the camera pans up into the sky.
As the motorcycle's burning.
Yeah, he ended up not using it, and it was originally released as a B-side.
Huh. And you know, the song they did use was Bob Dylan's song, but they couldn't get the rights to the Bob Dylan version, so they had Roger McGuinn do it.
Huh.
It's All Right, Ma, I'm Only Bleeding.
Huh.
Which I don't understand. I guess Bob Dylan didn't want to be a part of it, or his record company didn't want to comply, or something like that. And the Byrds already had a couple songs on there, so they were cleared. So Roger McGuinn just did it instead.
Huh.
Great movie if you guys haven't seen it or don't know what we're talking about. It's called Easy Rider, and it was released in 1971. And it was one of the first of its kind, I believe. You know, just a trip across country of a couple guys who sold a bunch of drugs and took the money and were going to live the dream and ride across country. And
Fonda was also an experienced rider. That's why he had the more customized bike.
Yeah, it was a way longer chopper with extended forks.
And Hopper wasn't. And Fonda, he wore that jacket around and rode the chopper a week around Los Angeles before shooting to break it in and get used to riding it.
When people see Captain America cruising around, and all of a sudden they see him on a movie like 3 years later.
The American flag on the back of his jacket and on the gas tank of the bike caused him to be pulled over several times by police.
Now why?
I don't know.
What are you, proud to be an American, son? Step off that bike and spread them.
Yeah.
I love America. Now don't be flaunting it on your goddamn hippie bike.
Well, you know there's no A in that anymore.
America.
Yep.
Yep. Pretty soon there ain't going to be one on the end either. It's just going to be Merrick. Yeah. Merrick.
You know,
Joseph Merrick.
Peter Fonda's children were used they were part of the hippie commune children.
Ah, yeah, I think I knew that.
Bridget Fonda.
And someone else was in that scene. God, I wish I could remember. Someone was in that hippie commune scene that just a short part, uncredited, and it was a name that stood out to me, but I can't recall right now because just like that show, we smoke real weed on this show.
Yeah.
We don't smoke that fake shit.
Bruce Dern almost played George Hanson, but we had scheduling conflicts.
Wow. That just totally would throw a different light on that.
It would. But Bruce Dern's a great actor.
Oh, yeah.
He would have played a great George.
Yeah.
Sure. The original cut of the film was 3 hours.
Whoa.
Yeah. It was originally titled The Loners.
Huh. Information overload. I don't even know what's going on right now. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that's a lot of stuff I did not know.
During Jack Nicholson's UFO speech, you remember that?
Yeah.
Dennis Hopper was intent on getting him very stoned on marijuana. The laughing that eventually broke up his speech was not planned. And when he repeats the line, it would be devastating, it was the next take.
Huh. Yeah.
Phil Spector was in there. Did you know that?
In the movie?
Yeah.
In the commune scene or where?
He was the coke dealer.
Oh, yeah, yeah, at the very beginning. I didn't know that was Phil Spector, but now that you mention it, it looks a lot like him.
Mm-hmm.
Huh. That was weird because at the airport and the fucking thing's super loud and it's just weird.
You know Peter Fonda's name in the movie? They only said it once.
I can't recall. I think I did know at one point. Give it to me.
The final campfire scene is when Billy refers to him as Wyatt.
Oh, yeah, but what's his last name?
I don't know.
Oh, it doesn't give a last name?
Nope.
What the fuck? Oh, well.
It was one of the first films to make extensive use of previously released musical tracks rather than a specifically written film score.
Yeah. Born to Be Wild, The Pusher by Steppenwolf.
Yeah.
Let's see. Jimi Hendrix, The Birds, The Holly Model Rounders, The Electric Prunes. All that is a great. I have that album, and I have that CD. It's a great, great collection of rock.
Yeah. They did not write a full script.
There was a lot of improvised dialogue.
Yep.
We're just going to drive across the country and film as we go.
They kinda didn't even hire a crew. They picked up hippies at communes across the country.
And used them to do what?
To
run the cameras and shit?
Yeah, and use friends and passerbys to hold cameras, and were drunk and stoned most of the time.
That's awesome.
Oh, here's one. Captain America's chopper was so squirrely.
How squirrely was it?
It was so squirrely that to ride at one point, Jack Nicholson squeezed his knees on Fonda's side to balance himself and broke one of Fonda's ribs.
Whoa. He's got some strong legs.
No shit.
Jesus, Jack. Calm down. Man, if Dennis Hopper wasn't, well, I guess they couldn't because they all died in that movie, so they could make a prequel. Nah.
Yep.
All right, well, that's our Easy Rider talk for today, I guess. I think that's all he's got.
No, there's a ton more, but I'm not going to keep reading them.
It's getting old, man.
Yeah.
It was an Easy Rider. Easy Rider was a cool magazine when I was a kid. You could see naked girls on motorcycles.
Oh, that'd be sweet.
Do you ever remember seeing those? That Easy Rider magazine?
Yeah, the and bikes and boobs.
Yeah, well, it wasn't a lot of tattoos back when I was a kid. It was mostly just like really cool choppers with a naked lady sitting on them.
The naked ladies usually had tattoos, I guess.
Maybe, possibly, yeah. Tattoos weren't as popular on the ladies back in like the 70s and stuff.
Well,
but
certainly.
Not as today, it's less popular to not have tattoos than it is to have tattoos. So
I don't have any tattoos.
You're one of a dying breed, is
I
what
know.
You are.
I don't. I'm not against them. Yeah. I don't even mind them.
You just haven't never got any. Well, just like with me with piercings.
Yeah, I just don't know. I just spend my money on other things.
You're waiting for the right design.
Certainly. I thought about some, but I don't know. I think about it too much.
Yeah.
Like when it comes down to it, it's like, you know, this is the first tattoo at this age. You know, it's not likely just to be a spontaneous tattoo.
No, it's got to be well thought out.
Yeah. And so, you know, by this time, anything well thought out is almost too cheesy.
Yep. I had a friend recently that just got a tattoo that they were just horrified of, hated it.
Mm-hmm.
Can't do nothing about it. It's permanent. So they posted a picture of it on badtattoo.com. And posted the... So the artist, I believe, from Permagraphics here in Eugene, don't know his name, but he did a nice, which she hates the term, but a tramp stamp.
That's back.
That's what it
with
is.
Celtic work.
But she got pissed because her friends were calling it that. I'm not a tramp. So that's just what
it's
called.
So it wasn't the tattoo that she had a hard time with. It was that...
Well, no, she loved that one, and it turned out great.
Uh-huh.
And her husband got a big back piece that was like a huge eagle wingspan is with kind of funny, but American badass with like a one of those kind of ribbon at the top, ribbon at the bottom with the, you know, kind of with a print on the ribbon or whatever, and the eagle. And they were both super stoked with their tattoos. So stoked. We're going back next week to get some more tattoos. I'm getting this nice flower on my shoulder, a nice little rose. And she got it. And she's like, I am not a happy camper. And then the next post was like, I'm appalled. I just want to scratch my skin off as how bad I hate my tattoo. And I was like, well, what did the artist say? And he said, there's nothing wrong with the tattoo. It looks exactly like what you wanted. And she's like, no, it doesn't. Of course, a person knows what they want. Maybe it looked like the picture that she had, but maybe the picture that she had wasn't what she thought it was going to look like. But
sometimes it looks different in your mind.
It does. And I feel sorry for anybody who gets a tattoo that you don't like, but that's the chance you're going to take because you can't. Mm-hmm. You could fix it later, get it covered up.
It reminds me of a tattoo I once saw of a lion. I was kind of weird looking lion.
Bitch, stop lying.
Was that Kevin that had that lion tattoo?
I don't think Kevin. Oh, he had some. I don't know if it was a lion.
It was like right there or something. Maybe it's Jared. That was a weird.
Kevin had the refuse resist on his arms, and I don't think he had a lion.
Have you seen him in a while?
I haven't. I just see posts from his wife. They're living in Astoria because his family lives up there, and guess he got a good job out there. And I just see posts of his wife of their kid, who's like 6 now.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Can't believe how time flies.
It does, especially when you throw clocks out the window.
Oh, God. You ever heard of a penis museum?
Nope.
Would you go to a penis museum?
Nope.
Would you go to Iceland?
Sure.
It's really cold there.
That's what I hear, and that you would not understand anything they said, probably.
And Iceland is one of the only places that has a penis museum. And it contains over 100...
That's because it's cold enough to keep them all stiff.
I know. It has 140, over 140 preserved penises from 43 different types of mammals. I just wonder if any of those mammals are humans. Do you think they have a human penis on display at the penis museum?
I don't know. There's only two in the animal kingdom that are actually made out of bone. I know that.
Raccoon?
Mm-hmm.
Or is it a possum?
No, it's a raccoon and a whale. Maybe it's mammals.
Boner.
Yep.
They're the only one with a real boner.
Yep.
But yeah, 143 preserved penises.
That's quite a lot.
Especially.
So they'd be in jars, right, I guess, and liquid, like formaldehyde.
Well, it's pretty cold in Iceland. You might just leave them out on the counter. Yeah, they're
probably. I think they're just like on peg hooks. Maybe it's for women to come in and practice.
This is a mummified penis of a kangaroo. A kangaroo a mammal?
Yeah.
All right.
No, it's a marsupial.
Oh,
but it's a marsupial a mammal.
No marsupial penises, which is a weird thing to say. Here's a fact for Adrian Bacon Farrell. He would be glad to know that his country, Canada, is the host of the largest island in a lake on an island in a lake on an island in the world.
Okay, an island on a lake. So
it's the largest island in a lake on an island in a lake on an island.
Wow. So it'd be like an island with almost 3 moats around it.
I guess so, yeah. So you got an island on a lake that's on an island on a lake on an island, which obviously that island has another body of water around it. Mm-hmm. So it's almost a quad moat type, quadimoto. It's a quadimoto island up in Canada. It's the humpback.
That's crazy.
Yep.
I'm looking at something. Is that one of the penises in the museum?
I don't know, but that's pretty big. Is that a penis?
I don't know. It's a story about the natural history of the infamous penis museum.
It must be the one in Iceland, because I don't think there's a lot of them.
It costs you $8 to get in there, 1,000 kronas. 1,000 Icelandic kronas.
Wow, $8.
Yep.
For 143 penises, that's a pretty good deal.
Yeah. One enormous brown phallus dropped from the ceiling like a schnoz of a Norwegian troll or something melting in a Salvador Dali painting.
The schnoz of a Norwegian troll.
Many penises were plump but limp in jars of formaldehyde, floating as contently as pickled turnips.
I didn't just fall off the pickled turnip truck last night, but I know that my penis would keep well in a jar of formaldehyde. Where'd you hide it? Formaldehyde. It's good to talk about penises sometimes. It keeps it real, I guess.
Yeah.
I think that because America doesn't have any penis museums, that maybe we should start one.
Dude,
or maybe we could start.
Should look this up because
you should look it up. Like, it's a penis. What the fuck is that? What animal is that from?
I don't know.
That's like a weird headless penis. There.
They don't really tell what these are. They just show pictures.
Wow,
no, that's an elephant penis preserved. And I don't know what that is.
That's just for size reference next to it. That was a dollar bill.
Yeah,
it's the size of $18 bills. We like penises.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's the weird looking penis.
As a young boy, his relatives had given him a pizzle, a bull's penis twisted and fashioned into a cattle whip.
A pizzle? I thought that's what Snoop Dogg called his junk. Want to suck on my pizzle? My nizzle? A penizzle.
It's just weird. It just looks like a big old bunch of standing penises in a room.
And so how are they preserved? Are those under something? Or
I think they're just in an internal erection. So maybe somebody just comes and strokes them like three times a day.
Ah.
Get them going.
Oh, that reminds me. That reminds me of a Bill Burr thing. He's talking about his wife going to the strip club. He says, like, I'm going to let her go to the strip club. She wants to go to the strip club. Fucking big deal. I go to the strip club. It's not like I'm fucking the girls. No big deal. He talks like that. He's from Boston. He's fucking irate sometimes. He talks like he's fucking pissed off most of the time.
He is pissed.
He's like, so my wife comes back from the fucking strip club, and she says, I think I'm going to touch one of the dancers' penises. Like, you think you might have touched one of the penises? What do you think you might? How'd you touch it? Did you just, like, turn around and, like, brush with your elbow or something? She's like, no, I went like this. And he's like, you went like this? He's like, that's a fucking stroke. You stroked it. She's like, no, I didn't stroke it because I just went down once. Uh-huh. She's like, yeah. For me, on my fucking regular guy penis, that wouldn't have been a stroke. But on a fucking Chippendales dancers, those guys got big penises. So just going down once is a fucking stroke. Fucking penis jokes. Bill Burr.
Bill Burr is funny.
He is. He was making me laugh so much that I actually had to go on to Facebook and just write a post that said, Bill Burr is a funny fucker.
Yep.
And he is a funny fucker. And I got some likes, like Christine Levine liked my post because he is a funny fucker. Mm-hmm. Jim Louder, he liked my post because he's funny.
I met someone on Facebook one time who, because I was looking for a Bill Burr page, and at this time Bill Burr didn't have his own Facebook page, but he had a Facebook page, you know what I'm saying?
Right. Fan page.
Yeah, and I wrote something on there, and the person who owned that page wrote me back, some chick, and she said, Bill Burr's contacted me about this page. I guess I must have said something interesting or something. And then she eventually gave the page up to Bill Burr when he finally came to Facebook to take over Facebook. Because
she already had so many followers.
Yeah, it was huge. Yeah. And I went there and said, like, man, great shit. But I knew he didn't have fucking a Facebook because I think he used to say that about on his podcast.
Yeah. Is he the one that records in his car?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Or he used to.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if he still does.
Yeah.
Yeah. He'd always bitch because sometimes he wouldn't get it up on Monday morning.
Yeah. It's hard to get it up.
Fuck, I just got off fucking tour. I just got off a weekend. And now here I am for you guys at 6 o'clock in the morning in the fucking Walgreens parking lot fucking recording this for you guys. You listening?
Yeah, he's pretty irate most of the time. And I was... Oh, there we go. I was stoked to see him on Breaking Bad.
Yeah, yeah.
As a driver. Not being funny by any means, just acting. But
yeah.
And it's a great segue here. We're talking about Bill Burr. I know Hans is not listening to Bill Burr.
Well, he should.
He should. I don't know if Hans listens to a lot of comedy, but, dude, listen to it.
It's Bill Burr, he would get a kick out of.
Yeah.
Especially that Oprah bit. watching Oprah with the girlfriend, that was probably one of his best bits.
Yeah. I think that might have actually been on the one I was listening to. Hans is listening to...
And I looked at her and...
Yeah.
Am I going to say it?
Yeah. He's listening to The Misfits today, American Psycho, which is, I could take The Misfits or leave them. I get a little bullshit.
A lot of people are huge Misfits.
Yeah,
Misfits
when I say, they're like, what? I don't know. Just
I always tell people my favorite Misfits song is Mother. That'll get people going, right?
And that's all about Tipper Gore. So, and I was listening to, that's why I said a great segue, Bill Burr's Emotionally Unavailable with the bonus tracks of a live somewhere else. Of course, it was all live, but like it was the original release, I think was from 2002 or something like that.
Uh-huh.
It's an older one, but good stuff. Good stuff from Bill Burr. He's got a few specials on Netflix. If anyone wants to check it out, that'd be an easy place to check it out. Or if you got a Cricket phone, you can download his fucking full albums on your Move Music thing. Because Cricket has that thing. I'm a cheapskate, so I'm by Cricket. Cricket.
Yeah, I was listening to This was a long time ago. I was listening to this.
Oh, it don't matter when you were listening to it.
Yeah. Rodney Dangerfield's no respect.
I tell you, my wife, no respect.
Yeah.
That's the only thing I could say.
Album.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever listened to that. I've seen his specials and seen him on TV and seen him do, you know, late night shows and whatnot, but I don't think I've ever listened to an album of his. Maybe I'll check that out. He had writers, though, didn't he?
I'll tell you, I don't know. That guy gets no respect. What, you think he can't write his own stuff?
I think he did, but I heard stories of people writing jokes for him because he was easy to write for because he had his little niche there. You write respect jokes.
You know he had a rap album, right?
Yeah. In the 80s, right?
Mm-hmm. Rapping Rodney.
Rip, rip, rap. Rippity rap. Because I keep on rapping till I get my snap rap. Rip.
It was kind of that kind of rap, I bet.
Yeah. Wasn't it just
I'm
one
Rodney,
song?
Because I'm Rodney, and I get no respect. And I say, what the heck?
That was poor. Poor and weak. Such as myself. Wait, I'm rich and strong. What are you talking about? Big and rich. Today's National Punk for a Day Day.
Punk for a day?
That's fucking weak, isn't it?
You dye your hair green for a day?
That just, I guess, be rebellious and listen to the Misfits. Good day to listen to the Misfits, punky Hans. Hans, you punk for a day.
I'm going to listen to the Misfits, yeah, because I'm a punk for the day, yeah.
Now, but last week I was in rough shape. And I don't get a break with nothing. I played hide and seek when I was three.
No respect. No respect.
Ooh, backup singers.
No respect. No respect.
This is the lo-fi version.
No respect. No respect.
They took me to a dog show and I won.
They took him to a dog show and he won.
All right. Nice job rapping Rodney. Keep rippity rap. Keep on rapping till my rippy.
No respect.
No respect. Poor little Rodney gets no respect. That's a freaky Friday today.
It is. What
it's
is
getting
the
dark
25th?
Outside. Yeah, it is. It's the 25th, and tomorrow is the 26th. Lots of shit going on.
Yeah.
I'm going to be telling jokes at two venues, tattoo parlor, and a garage that's actually a bar in the district called Whitaker. In the town of Eugene, in the state of Oregon, country, United States.
Whitaker block.
It's a Whitaker district, bitches.
Yeah, a lot of parties going on over there.
They do. I actually did a block party weekend thing, not this year, but last year. Did some comedy down there, and there was kids in the audience, and I said, fuck it. And I just did my shit like I normally do.
That was last year?
A year ago. Yeah. I think it was the day we had a show at the fucking Wow Hall. The last Sons of Confusion show, I believe.
Oh, I'm thinking of recently you did the Eugene
Celebration. Yeah, but it was the year before that I did the Whitaker Block Party. It was just kind of like on a makeshift stage in a backyard of a house down there in that area. But that
sounds
was the only
like a
time.
Song lyric, a makeshift stage in the back of the house.
Keep on rapping till I catch a mouse.
And that was the only time that Jaden got to see my comedy, and he actually sat quietly through a 10-minute set of mine.
Oh, right on.
And that's why he has a potty mouth now. Other day, playing Super Mario Brothers, he's sitting there watching me because when the levels get too hard, he just wants an adult to play so he can watch. So I'm trying real hard. We're to the eighth world. We're getting to beat the big Bowser now. We're going to save the princess finally. And I keep dying. And I'm all, son of a... And he's all, bits? And I was like, don't say that. And he's like, I go, say gun. If you're going to... I go, thanks for finishing my thing. I go, but I didn't say that last word because you're not supposed to say that word. It's a bad word. And he's like, oh, sorry. And then a couple days later, I'm all, son of a, and he's all, gun. I'm all, good job, buddy. Son of a gun.
Yeah.
He's at that point where if you cuss around him, he's going to say it, you know.
Next, you should just have him teach him the rest of the lyrics for his son of a gun.
Now y'all messing with a son of a gun. Now y'all messing with a son of a gun. Son of a gun. What's the rest of the words? What are you talking about? Son of a...
No, I was talking about the Nirvana song.
Son of a Bitch?
No, the song Son of a Gun?
Son of a Gun. Yeah, Son of a Bitch. That's like when I was about 7 years old, I wanted to sing a Billy Joel song for the talent show, and it said, when I don't have a ride, I'll hitch. I got a thumb, and she's a son of a bitch. Mm-hmm. But I was seven, so the guy who had taught me how to play the song and sing it said, you know, since I taught you and you're a kid and there's going to be a bunch of adults at this performance, how about if you change that word so you don't say bitch? And I was like, okay, what do you want me to say? And he says, just say son of a gun. Didn't even think about it until I'm on stage singing it. That didn't rhyme or anybody knew what. If I don't got a car, I'll hitch. I got a thumb and she's a son of a gun. It's like you're watching the Oprah Winfrey Network.
Yeah, it's a rhyme with thumb.
Ah.
But I would go with biscuit has the same kind of feel. But
a biscuit?
Yeah, son of a biscuit. Or another one that's even closer is son of a scritch.
Yeah.
Which is the devil, a son of the devil.
Or you could say, I got a thumb and it's a son of a rich man. And she's the son of a rich girl, and you're going too far.
Yep.
It don't matter anyway. And
did you see? Did you vote? Rolling Stones, Rock and Roll Hall of Fame came out.
No, but I heard the Beasties were up for it, and Nirvana.
The Beasties? I didn't see the Beasties.
Boys? No.
Didn't they get in last year?
Maybe they did. Maybe they said they were going to be joining the Beastie Boys. It was Nirvana. I know. I saw.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't remember who else.
Well, there's a thing you can go and you can go on Rolling Stone, and there's like 400 ballots that get cast, and they're doing a fan ballot. So all the fans get to vote, and then the top five names go on one ballot.
Okay.
So the fans get one of the 400 ballots.
Oh, that's not much.
Let's see if. Here's the inductees nominated. Five of these people, I think, will go in, and I'll go through, and we'll just see which one, if you would vote for them or not.
Okay.
The Paul Butterfield Blues Band. I think this can't be their first time on it, right?
It doesn't seem like it, because they're way older than 25 years since they're. But, you know, they've paid their dues. They've been around.
Didn't they have like Clapton or somebody in there like that went on to a big
solo? He was in John Mayall Blues Breakers.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But Paul Butterfield's Blues Band, I think, was associated with not Alice Cooper, but Al Cooper with a K.
Okay.
Who did some producing for Skynyrd and some other bands. But yeah, I'm not real familiar. I know my dad had a couple of their albums from the 70s. So, and I know that they're kind of a staple of sorts for blues and rock.
Did you know that Eric Clapton left the Yardbirds in protest when they had that big hit because he was a blues purist?
Yeah, it was For Your Love.
Yeah.
Yeah, he hated that song. Yeah. For Your Love! I don't like that either. For Your Love!
So you'd be questionable on that? On the Paul Butterfield?
Well, let me wait till I hear the rest of them. I probably would give them a vote.
Chick!
Chic?
Yeah.
Okay, you like to say chick.
Well, I don't know who they do. What they do?
They did La Chic, by Chic.
Yeah.
La Freak. I mean, sorry. They did that disco hit La Freak.
La Freak
says chic. So they're saying we're saying it because we're chic. That's our band. We say freak out. La Freak says chic.
Did they have other big hits, or what was their whole? Why would they even be on this?
In the disco area, they probably had some other. All right. Top 40 hits, but I would not vote for Chic.
All right.
Fuck those guys.
Now, these guys, people are going to be pissed if they never get in. Deep Purple.
Oh, well, you know, we were pissed already that the Red Hot Chili Peppers got in before Deep Purple.
Mm-hmm.
And we were going to ask Pat that, like, last year.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
How upset are you, or stoked are you, that Red Hot Chili Peppers got nominated for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame before Deep Purple?
That was season one, man. That's a throwback.
That was a year ago, man. So, yeah, I'm glad that they're finally getting up in there.
All right. They're not in. They're just nominated.
Right. They're trying to. They're close.
Yeah, I think they've been nominated for years. They just don't get in. And this is a solo thing. He's already in his group Genesis.
Ooh, no.
Peter Gabriel.
Oh, okay. I thought you were going to say Phil Collins. Peter Gabriel?
He's probably already in.
Pretty fucking cool. Shock the Monkey.
Sledgehammer.
Salisbury Hill.
What?
climbing down on Salisbury Hill. You don't know that song?
Yeah, I do. Now I know. I didn't know you said Salisbury Hill.
That's about a steak in a bag. You remember boiling bags? You get a boiling bag with Salisbury steak?
Yeah.
I used to sing, eating up my Salisbury steak. I would feel I was a nut.
That's a good song, though. I mean, radio-wise,
if
you know.
If not till they probably will in games without frontiers, war without fears. I used
that's
to dig
not,
that
is that Peter Gabriel?
Yes, that's, right. that was his yeah. first hit.
Oh, wow.
First big hit after Genesis. Hmm. All right, I would vote for Peter Gabriel.
All right. How about these guys? Kiss!
They're not in it?
Nope.
Okay, I guess. Then whatever. Sure.
Hall & Oates.
I guess. You know, there's a show on Axis TV called Live at Daryl's House.
Yeah, yeah, I've seen that.
That's him.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't even know that till I actually watched it.
Yeah.
Actually, Farmer Tape Nose goes, oh, that's Daryl Hall. And I was like, no. And then we watched it, and I was like, oh, yeah, you're right. Where's yeah. Oates?
Yeah.
Poor Oates got left out.
I didn't vote for Kiss in this, by the way, out of spite.
I would vote for Kiss so far and Paul Butterfield, blues band.
All right. And
not Chic. Yes, Deep Purple, not Chic.
And a Peter Gabriel?
Well, maybe? I think I would take Deep Purple over Peter Gabriel, but...
All right. LL Cool J.
Going
now,
back
should he be
back.
In Rock and Roll Hall?
Going
thing?
Back.
He crossed
back.
Over, right, to Rock and Roll.
Well, Beastie Boys. Mm-hmm. Rap people go in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
But you're not big on him?
Not a big fan of LL.
All right.
Whoa.
What about the Meters? An old black group.
I remember the name, but I don't recall any of the songs.
You're not going to vote for him, neither am I. Nirvana.
Yep. They get my vote.
And here's another N.
W.
Name. A.
Yep. I think they should get in.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going the N's. N.W.A., N.I.R.V.A.N.A., and Deep Purple.
We're not done.
Okay.
The Replacements.
The theme from Friends.
Is that what they did?
I thought so. I think that's, I would replace them with someone else.
How about Linda Ronstadt? Would you replace her with her? Ronstadt. What was her, she had a big hit.
She had tons. She did, we talked about it not too long ago when it was her birthday. Blue Bayou. She did that version of the Roy Orbison song.
I love that CCR song. Oh, I want to buy you.
Yeah, that's about slavery.
Mm-hmm.
I want to buy you. I'll give you $50 if you pick my cotton, bitch.
No, he only gave him. He only got a quarter or a nickel, right?
You only got a nickel?
Yeah, lay your money down.
Oh yeah, for Willie and the poor cotton pickers. I'm going to buy you a drink.
This guy.
I want to buy you
this
a drink.
This guy, man.
This guy.
Ooh.
He's one of those guys. It's just one of those guys.
He is. Cat Stevens.
Ooh, he's a terrorist.
Some people think so.
Ahmed Hocknock Marknock. He can't ride on certain planes because of the turban. Well, yeah. I was listening to some Cat Stevens. T for the Tillerman.
Mm-hmm. I don't know who Tillerman is. Is that like Zimmerman? T for Zimmerman.
Oh, baby, baby, it's a wild world. I don't know. He just sounds like he's like, oh, I'm so airy and breathy.
Yeah. And that song, sometimes you think of Wild Side by, what's that band?
Take a Walk on the Wild Side.
Yeah, who is that?
Lou Reed.
That's
Velvet
right.
Underground.
Yeah.
Dude, can't believe I keep forgetting, but on Monday.
I was going to say Lou Graham.
Monday, remind me to play some of the awesomeness that is Metallica and Lou Reed, okay?
All right.
Because we've been missing out on some great comedy. Me and my friend laughed for hours.
I got three more.
Okay.
Here we got The Zombies.
I like The Zombies. I've got a CD of theirs and a couple albums.
Mm-hmm.
They did The Time of the Season.
Yep. Lance said that he thought these guys were somebody else because both songs that I said he thought they were someone. Oh, he was thinking they were the Yardbirds when I mentioned she's not there. He thought that was the Yardbirds.
Yeah,
and
I love that
their
song.
Other hit, not Time of the Season,
was
or
it,
maybe it was Time of the Season.
Venus?
He thought was the Yardbirds.
Did they do Venus?
I'm not sure.
No, that was Shocking Blue.
Link Ray.
Ooh. He's a good rockabilly dude, and we were talking not too long
ago. I've never heard of him.
We were talking not too long ago about that fucking movie with David Arquette where I told you he put all that grease in his hair and then went on his head in the skating rink.
Mm-hmm.
Remember when the oil went all over the floor?
Yeah.
Link Ray was his main influence, and when his girlfriend was asking him, you know, what are you going to do with your music career, and who do you like? And he's like, I'd love to be as good as Link Ray someday, you know. He's just a dude from the 50s and 60s that was a big-time kind of rockabilly star.
Mm-hmm.
But kind of flew a little bit under the radar as far as like all the other big names. But yeah, I think Link Ray deserves to be in there.
Tell Her No, that was the other Zombies song. Tell Her No, 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 No.
Yeah.
No. He thought that was the Yardbirds too.
Oh.
And that's when we got into looking into the Clapton and, you know, and then he Clapton suggested Page to come in. And then Page was worried about giving up his studio career at the time.
Yeah.
And so he recommended Beck. And Beck played for the first time with the Yardbirds 2 days after Clapton quit.
Wow.
Yeah.
From one classic icon.
Yep. And then Page came in, and Page and Beck were both there for some time, right?
Yeah.
And this one, I'm giving a definite yes. I can't believe they are not in yet. And I just said the name of the band.
Yet?
Yes.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Those guys have created a true legacy of prog rock, prog rock, progressive rock.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, those guys, all excellent musicians. Singer, a little high on the notes for me, but...
Yeah, the singer can get old to many, and even to myself, but Steve Howe is a great guitarist.
Oh, yeah.
Listen to like that song, The Clap, from the Yes album.
Uh-huh.
Is a awesome song that has no vocals. And I think he did an instrumental on Fragile.
Huh?
I can't remember the name of it, but it was a ding 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 ding. Yeah, it doesn't even sound anything.
That was exactly like it. Did you like a lot of his work with Asia?
The Heat of the Moment.
Order, yeah. The Heat of the Moment.
Oh.
And
Owner of a Lonely Heart was yes.
Yeah, I almost started singing that.
I don't know, what's the other Asia song?
Fucking The Heat of the Moment and
Watching
Only Time Will Tell. That was another hit of those. Only Time Will Tell. I didn't know.
I don't know. I think I remember an Asia tape floating around my house. I don't know if it was mine or not.
My sister had the record, and then she traded it to me for... I accidentally bought a Duran Duran record.
Rio?
No, it was the one that had that James Bond one on it. Like,
oh, that must have been way late in the Duran Duran.
87,
a time of View to a Kill?
Yeah, View to a Kill. Because my Duran Duran days were back, ended with like Girls on Film.
Mm-hmm.
Back when they were cool. Hungry Like the Wolf. And then after that, it was just like, her name is Rio and she dances on the sand. Oh, God. What's that guy's name? Fucking.
What about The Reflex?
I think they were all from the same album.
Yeah, Arena.
Probably.
I think that was one of their big Rio. One. And then there is The Rio.
Yeah, The Rio. All right, so is that all of them?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was all of those.
Well, I would pick Nirvana. I would pick Deep Purple.
Mm-hmm.
I would pick NWA and Kiss. There's four. And it'd be a toss-up for the fifth spot. Either, you know, Peter Gabriel, Paul Butterfield Blues Band. I don't know, but I like most of those.
Zombies.
Yes, and the Zombies. Yeah, it'd be a toss-up for the five spot. But
you don't have to choose four when you vote, though. I mean, five. When you vote, you could just vote for four.
I would probably, well, those would be my four definite choices, and then I would probably like do a internal lottery.
Throw a dart.
Or a decadahedron.
Just go to random.org and put them in a list. And
I would throw a decadahedron.
Yeah, you should.
I like to say that word because I've learned how to say
dodecahedron.
Oh, is it dodecahedron?
Oh, I don't know. Is that what you said?
I said decadahedron. Dodecahedron.
Dodecahedron.
There you go.
There's probably a decahedron too, though.
I learned it from watching Team Umizoomi. Decadahedron. Or maybe it was Dora the Explorer. I don't know. But let's get to this. Before I fucking forget. Today we got metal birthdays up the ass. It's the 25th of October, and I was looking at my site that I look at for birthdays, and it said Rob Halford, but we know that Rob Halford's birthday is August 25th,
mm-hmm.
and it said Rob Halford, October 25th, or August 25th.
Ah.
So, like, I guess maybe two birthdays have been established for him accidentally, but I'm going to go ahead and say that it's on my birthday, because we made a big deal about that. But today, Glenn Tipton from the same band, guitarist from Judas Priest. Now, how you think they're going to have their birthdays on the same day? Possibly. There's other people in band that have their birthdays.
Same.
I think they're different ages.
53. That's way young.
Tipton's 66. He's old.
Yeah.
Also, metal guitarist birthday today, Matthias Jabs from the Scorps. Now, he's like 9 years younger than Glenn Tipton.
Wow.
But Judas Priest and Scorpions kind of hit the scene at the same time, so Matthias must have started a little early. I don't know. So happy birthday to Judas Priest and the Scorpions guitarists, sharing that for today, the 25th. And also, drummer for the band I saw last Saturday night, Sick Man, Alice in Chains tribute band, drummer Dwayne Taylor. Mm-hmm. Nice set the other night, buddy. I know you don't listen to the show, but maybe when I put the link on your page, maybe you'll listen. You say, hey, he said my name. Awesome. So that's our birthdays for the day on National Punk for a Day Day. Hey, Day Day. Isn't that a dude from the movie Friday? Wasn't there a character?
Day Day?
Day Day.
I haven't seen Friday in forever.
I think it was in like the Friday, next Friday, or the Friday after next.
I don't know if I watched next Friday.
It's pretty funny.
Yeah, I believe it. I really liked Friday.
A lot more Mike Epps in that one.
Yeah.
Which I don't think he was in the first one. It was more Chris Tucker.
What about Omar Epps?
Omar Epps.
I don't know.
Who's Omar Epps?
Sounds familiar. Yeah. Omar.
Omar.
He's also on, I saw him on Larry King not too long ago. He was being interviewed by Larry King.
Now, is that a real scar on his face or is that make, oh, it is?
Yeah.
Okay.
I do believe so. Yeah, he's got the same scar and, I think I've seen him talk about it before. He just said it was something that went wrong, you know. I don't know.
Something that went wrong?
He just grew up in a city with knives.
In a hood.
But he's one of the main characters in Boardwalk Empire.
Ooh. Yeah, I noticed that, you know, after going back and watching The Wire, that I'm seeing a lot of these people that were in The Wire, either on or on shows that happened after The Wire that are either done now, like The Office. That girl that played Michael's girlfriend, Holly, was the cop on season 2. You got D'Angelo showing up on Walking Dead and that other black dude on Walking Dead. Omar on whatever you said that he's
Boardwalk
on. Boardwalk Empire. And you said that, what's the other black dude that's...
Bunk.
Yep, Bunk showed
on Michael
up.
Michael J. Fox. Yep. Yeah, and on other shows too. I think I've seen him.
Yep, so I think that was a good platform, like a diving board or a springboard for their for careers. And odd to me, I guess, just because I didn't have HBO, that I didn't know about or hear about The Wire sooner than I did. But
Yeah. Well, I think it got missed because not a lot of people have the HBO.
Yeah.
And that was at a time, it started like 2 years after The Sopranos. So, probably a lot of people were on the Showtime with The Sopranos. HBO, I don't know what they were doing at the time, probably showing more just movies before they realized. Because The Sopranos kind of opened up that whole TV series on the premium cable packages. You know, I guess they did a few before that, right? Or I don't know when Carnival was. I remember that being crazy, and then seeing a bunch of people after that.
Was that a series on HBO?
Yeah, it was about a carnival back in the day, a traveling carnival, and the kind of goings ons of the. You know, you had the bearded lady was a cast member, and the little little guy.
Might remember a little bit about that.
And it was kind of a dark, too, because there's an evil versus light kind of a thing going on. Very well done. I thought, but it was meant to go like 5 seasons, but it only went 2.
Hmm.
And it's still, I'll say that, you know, you could watch it because it does kind of wrap things.
Yeah.
Moderately, not leaving it hanging too much. But I was disappointed that it didn't go longer. It was a great show, and I heard it was like $10 million an episode
Whoa.
To film, because, you know, you basically had to build a circus.
Yeah.
You know, with and then all the actors in there. And
but wouldn't they just use the same one, and for they'd have to rebuild it for each episode?
I don't know. I can't remember exactly what
That's
it was.
Crazy.
Yeah. But it was a traveling thing, too, and so, you know, you had Ferris wheel and,
yeah,
you know, I don't know. I guess imagine that, like, the lighting and all that, too, because it was just out in the open air. And
right. Did you, I forgot, I think we talked about it, but I don't know if I asked you for sure. You watched the first episode of Walking Dead
yeah.
premiere?
Yeah, we yeah. talked about the raining zombies through the
Oh, that's
storm.
Right. We talked about that earlier this week. That's right. Okay. Almost forgot. But I was reading somewhere that it was like almost 16 million viewers. The biggest viewing of Walking Dead, maybe one of the biggest AMC viewings.
Yeah.
16
Sounds
million.
About right.
And then it reminded me that Robin Williams and Sarah Michelle Gellar had 15.4 million. How can that even happen?
Oh, no, dude. Have you seen
Must be kind of funny. I guess.
I've watched it. I've seen part
oh,
of it.
Was it dumb?
I don't know. I guess they kind of play off each other all right.
Right on. Sunshine just walked through the door.
Yep. And then, I don't know. Flipped through, you know, on those. I think it's like on. It's on one of those days. And it's weird, too, because NBC, I think it is a guy that.
He's just one of those guys that's just. One
yeah,
of those
you
guys.
Want to put that on a flat surface, Flames.
Flop that up on the table there, buddy.
Yeah, they were showing Sean Saves the World and the Michael J. Fox Show on Thursdays, and then they rerun it on Fridays in reverse order.
That's fucking
like
weird.
One's at 8 and one's at 8:30, and the next day it's like they're trying to figure out which day is best to show those in what order. But yeah, I don't know. I didn't, you know, it's Robin Williams and Sarah Michelle Gellar. They kind of play off each other well. They play like a father, son.
Well, she's a girl.
Holy Ghost. There's a Holy Ghost in there. No, you know what's on opposite of that I watch is The Millers.
I've heard
that's why
hilarious.
I don't watch it.
I've heard that's
Yo,
pretty
dude,
funny.
It's fucking hilarious.
What night's that on?
Thursday, Friday, Wednesday, something.
One of those weeks. The yep. day that ends in Y.
yeah. The Millers, though, man. You got Arnett.
Yeah.
And some other great, Ned Beatty.
I've been having to watch.
The Mother's really insane, which makes for a good show.
That movie, Despicable Me, it's like a kid's mm-hmm. movie. It's got Steve Carell, or Carell, however you say it. And it's got Will Arnett as one of the main voices. And he's just a great voice. He's got a great, distinct voice. And uh-huh. you know him when you hear him. But I've been going to have to check out The Millers for sure.
Yeah, yeah, it's worth watching. It's weird that him and Michael J. Fox kind of play the same character in their shows of news people.
Yeah.
There is one of the Millers that was pretty funny where Will Arnett was there and he's talking about the race. There's like a bike race and he's sitting there and he's waiting for people to come by. And they missed it. Oh, you know who else is on there?
No.
The Millers, who plays a big role in it. And J.B. Smoove.
Oh, cool. I haven't seen him in a long time, so
yeah.
that would be cool.
Yeah, he dude. Plays a good role on there. Because
he can just talk and say stuff mm-hmm. that's not funny, and he's
yeah.
hilarious to me.
He's kind of like the Will Arnett's cameraman, so he plays in a good part of the series, which is fun, because he is fucking hilarious. I like
yeah.
J.B. Smoove.
For sure. He yep. is a smooth character.
Yeah.
Well, shit, we better get on out of here.
Yeah.
We've been here long enough. It's Friday. Thanks for listening, you guys. And check out The Millers. Check out the Penis Museum. They got elephant penises the size of your body. You'll be amazed by it.
Yeah.
And stick around after the show for the plugs. If you're doing anything, cancel and come to my shows on Saturday. That's tomorrow. I'll be telling jokes at couple places in Eugene, and you should be there. Stick around after the show for the info.
Hey, rock on.
Hey, thanks for listening, guys. We'll see you Monday. We'll talk about Metallica and Lou Reed and how bad they suck together and apart and metal. That's an elephant's penis. Hey, everybody. What's going on? I'm going to tell you a whole bunch of things that are going on, and hopefully you'll go see some of them. Comedy shows, some rock shows. First, I want to tell you, every second Friday of the month at the Cornucopia Bar there in Eugene on 5th and Pearl, it's Pantsless Comedy. It's a showcase, a monthly showcase. Usually a couple of comics from Portland come down, hosted by Mike McGowan. It's a free show, and it's always funny, so you should go there. It's a great little place. Also, every Wednesday at the Tiny Tavern, there's an open mic hosted by Mac Chase. And every Thursday at the Green Room, hosted by Nick Howe. How? I don't know. But anyway, those are your weekly and monthly things that I'm going to tell you about. October 26th at Sam Bond's Garage. It starts at 5 o'clock. It's an early show. It's bleeping funny. It's comedy without the cussing. It's a free show. I'll be there. A couple other people that I can't recall right now. Leanne Joshua will be the host. Seth Milstein will be headlining, doing 30 minutes of clean material. Yeah, we'll see. We'll see if he doesn't cuss one time. Later that night, we're going to go down to the Bonnaroo Tattoo Shop, where they're having the one-year anniversary. They're going to have bands and comics. The comics will open the show, including myself, Max Brockman, and Chris Chelson. And then Hiding Jekyll's going to play. Sick Man's going to play. It's going to be an awesome show at the Tattoo Parlor, Bonnaroo Tattoo one-year anniversary. And then if that's not enough for you on the 26th, you can go to the Greenery Pizza and Nightclub for more comedy. Comedy as Advertised is the name of the show. Seth Milstein is your host. He's bringing down a couple of Portland comics. Sean Jordan, Zach Toscani from the Spicy News, Max Brockman, Gina Ginsburg, and once again, Chris Chelson. Lots of good comedy going on Saturday night in Eugene, so go check that out. What else do we have going on? November 5th, Rob Zombie and Korn. If you want information on that, check it out yourself, because I'm not really that interested, and I'm not going to talk about it anymore. So that's all I got for that one. November 8th, one of the last Hard Rock shows at Diablo's before they lose their lease and it turns into something stupid. Glad Handler. Always have trouble saying that. Mitch Chamberlain and the boys will be playing with I Am Ruin, Dirt Nap, and Purpose and Silence. Purpose of Silence. I can't read very well. Anyway, that's Diablo's on Pearl Street, 959 Pearl in Eugene. Let's see what else is going on. The same night, if you're in Corvallis on November 8th, you should come to Sub-Zero. That'll be the 30-pound test record release show for their Eat, Drink, Sleep, Fish, EDSF. That's the name of the album. It's coming out finally. A Bikini and Summer Soundtrack will also be playing. It's $5 at the door. 18 and over, with a bar for 21-year-old alcoholics. So if you want to come and drink, you can. And if you're not 21, you can still come. So check that out. What else is going on? The 8th Annual Northwest Women's Comedy Festival at the Wildest Theater in Springfield happens on November 9th. I'm not even going to list the whole 15 of those ladies because they're all funny. You should go check it out. And the money goes to some decent cause, I'm told. So that'll be good. November 29th, Lord Dying, Ancients, Nether Regions, and another band at the Analog Cafe in Portland. We listened to some Lord Dying on the show this week, so if you liked what you heard, you should go see them live in concert, right? Here's the big show that I recently heard about. December 7th, Wehrmacht, Toe Tag, World of Lies, and Spawn. What? At Slab Town in Portland, Toe Tag is going to be playing some old Accused songs. Wehrmacht will be playing their old classic stuff. Spawn. What more do I need to say? Except that I wish Victims was on that show. But anyway, December 7th is a Saturday night. You should go check it out. Also, DRI is coming to Portland in January with World of Lies. Thanks for listening, you guys. There's lots to do. Go do it. And then come back and listen to the Terry and Gatch Comedy Show at TagCastPodcast.com.